I'm glad that I had mentioned to Tim prior to that, that he was going to be doing the next speaking and that he was already having something. That was amazing. That was good. Needed that. Let's open up in prayer. Father, what greater love could we ever experience in life? A great love that we have when our children are introduced to us for the first time, instantaneous and powerful as it is. A love that a man has for his wife and a wife for her husband. So powerful and amazing. A love that we have for our brothers and sisters, for our moms and dads, and for friends. Lord, more amazing still is a great love that you have for us that outshines all these loves, that is stronger and more powerful than the most wretched of us, that draws us to new heights, that draws us to places where we would never have considered, that draws us to new loves that we could never have imagined, that makes us new and frees us to soar, as the psalmist says, like on wings of eagles, where we soar above the hurting, the abused, the misused, the mistreated, where we soar above those who were and are like us, who need you so, that they might experience this love of a God who seeks those to love. Thank you, Lord, for this glorious love. Thank you, Lord, that you have made this all possible and that we can speak of these glorious things. As the psalmist says again, Lord, as the writers of your word says, what is man that you should think of us? When we consider who you are, your greatness and your glory, your wonder and your splendor, your majesty and your might, your holiness and your righteousness, who are we? We are your creation. And for those of us who have received you, we are your children. We praise you this morning. We thank you for your glorious love. In Jesus' name, we pray now, Lord, that you would open up eyes, ears, minds, and hearts to these great truths for your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What a glorious love that God has for us, that he has bestowed upon us, as it says, that we should be called his children. What a glorious, wondrous love. One of the things I didn't get a chance to praise this morning was I got to spend some time in the Word with Holly. She had some questions. She was over at my house with the kids. We had another birthday party, and she was there. And this morning, as I was sitting doing my quiet time, I have a lot of questions. And I said, well, about what? And she talked about it a little bit. And we got a chance to share, and it was an amazing time. It was a great time. And it was really an answered prayer, because I know that when I saw her yesterday, I asked her and kind of put her on the spot. I said, how's your reading coming? It's not. Work has been really pressing on her, so she was really ill yesterday for that. But it was an amazing time as we got to share, and I got to share the word with her. What an amazing thing it is that we can wake up in the morning and be able to do that, to share with people, even young baby Christians, as it were. God is an amazing God. He's a God that, as the Bible describes, as we've been talking about myself before in the last communion, how God is a God of relationships and how God draws us, and Tim with his message about who God is and what God is and where we get our information and where our information needs to be based upon as to who actually God is, where we get that information from. One of the characteristics that I see in God, and the question that was in my mind throughout the week was, are we seeking God? And as I thought about that, are we seeking God, I also thought about, why should we seek God? Why and how do we do this? The how, I don't know all the answers to, and I don't think anybody really does, except God himself. As Tim said, when we do it, we have to do it in accordance with what he has commanded, what he has stated, that this is the way that you approach me. This is the only way that you approach me. And what is it that we are to seek? You know, I got to share with somebody that when we're seeking God's will, are we just thinking in terms of, God, this is what I think I want to do. This is what I want to see happen in my life. This is what I think would be cool and awesome. And how many times do we get into that situation and we approach God that way, forgetting that we should really first, as Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, to seek what his will. God, what is it that you want? This is what's going on in my life. This is what I see coming. What do you want me? How do you want me to respond? How do you want me to move forward or not with this situation? How do you want me to do these things, and how do I know these things? One of the things that, those were just some of the things that I was thinking of, and one of the things that I saw reflected in Scripture as I was reading through different portions of the Bible is, I see, number one, why we should seek God is because it's good. It's a good idea. It's a good idea to seek God. There's many benefits of it. But even those aren't the reasons why we should seek him. The biggest reason that I see, the focus of my message is real simple. 2 Chronicles 16:9. When I was reminded of, as I was thinking about this, who God is, and one of the things that was bringing this message even more strongly was the Bible study, the video that we watched, and the book that we have available that Tim has so generously provided, that you can take home. And those questions that are in that book, even though it wasn't specific questions, it was just a mixture, an accumulation of all those questions and answers, and it got my mind thinking. If I had a board up here, you guys could kind of get an idea more about these guys get to see how my mind works. When I take notes, my notes are like those kind that just trail all over the place. That's just the way my mind, that's the way God wired me. Or it could be a result of all the drinking that I did for all those years. I don't know. So my mind sometimes gets into these questions and starts going down these paths, and then it opens up another question and then another, and it goes all over the place. But as I was looking at these things, those questions, they were great for, and that's why I'm encouraging you to John has it right there. And if you've not taken that home and there's still some down there, grab it. Check it out. Those questions that just started provoking in me some ideas and some thoughts, and I thought they were really amazing. But 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth." So the eyes of the Lord are active. One of the things as I thought about this is God is actively seeking. God has been actively seeking from the beginning. When he created Adam and Eve, what did they used to do in the evening? He'd walk with them. He'd come and they would spend time with him. He was actively seeking that relationship. He was actively seeking these things. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Relational. There's that relationship thing again. He's looking throughout, actively seeking whose heart is completely His for a purpose. Remember I said seeking God, there's a benefit. And it seems like no matter where you go in the Bible, when God talks about seeking Him, there's always that benefit. He looks to those to support those whose heart is completely His. And that's why I wonder, are we actively seeking God? I don't know what God has in our future here. I hope and I believe and I want to believe that it's great things, it's amazing things, even with a small body as we are. Because I see that is kind of what God does. That is kind of how God works. When He calls, He doesn't call millions upon millions of people to do His work in a sense. He uses the small, insignificant, seemingly just unknowable things. He uses, as Paul says, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's why this last week, as I was listening to somebody who was speaking, they had an English accent. I can't remember what his name was, but he was talking about Billy Graham. And he goes, you know, in his English, proper English that he was speaking, he says, you know, Billy Graham, when I listen to him, he says, I just don't understand how God uses such a simply spoken guy who doesn't always present things in the most eloquent ways. He said, but you know what? When God says He uses the simple things of the world, that explains everything I need to know about Billy Graham. His willingness to go and to be used in that way. And he's been used so mightily by God to bring people to faith and to speak the truth of the gospel. God is seeking those whose heart is completely His for a purpose. And I was always saying, He looks to and fro so that He may strongly support those. And I think that is one of the things that God is calling us to do. We're always, I know over the years as a Christian, I've heard messages like this all the time. But I really believe that as a small body, that as small as we are, in this particular place that we are, that God is calling us to first, as Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. To seek God with a complete heart. What that looks like, the only picture we've got of that that I can think of is Jesus Himself. Jesus Himself was always drenched, as it were, dripping with God, with the Father. He was always dripping in His love, in His mercy, in His justice. He was always just flowing God through Him. And I see that that's what, and I think that that's what God is calling us to do. And when I say us, that includes me. I need to learn to do this. I really desire to have a heart that is completely His, that is not divided by anything else. I really want to know and experience that in my life before I die, to experience God in that way, an undivided me given over to where I no longer exist, but only God exists through me. And I'm not talking about some weird New Agey type of thing. I'm talking about what the Bible tells us is that He is to increase and we're to decrease. As John says, God does seek. He's actively seeking those to seek Him. On the front of my, this was given to me by Dave and Jan, and on it is Jeremiah 29:11. That's where we're going to be next. And it was interesting. My, you guys know Jake, my son. He has in-laws that are LDS, and he had one of his brother-in-laws When we were up there with during Karis's birthday, my granddaughter, he saw my Bible laying there, and it was interesting. He was reading it, and he was reading it, and he was reading it. He was kind of in awe of what it said. He was like, "Wow, that's pretty amazing." And for people that call themselves Christian, it's amazing to me that they're not aware of this. But that shows their blindness. To which I just said, "Yeah, it is amazing. It's an amazing thing." Unfortunately, he was leaving, and we didn't have time to discuss. I wish he would have asked that early on in the day, but he didn't. What are you going to do? Trust God, I guess. Jeremiah 29:11. Through 14. "For I know the plans that I have for you." Again, it's so amazing, this relationship that God has with us. "I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." So in spite of the calamity and the things that we go through, this is what God says. Look, this is the ultimate focus. This is the ultimate thing. "Plans of welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And remember, he was speaking this to the Israelites, but I believe he's also speaking to this to the believer. "Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." There it is again, a heart who's completely his. "When you search for me with all your heart, you're going to find me. I will be found by you," declares the Lord. That's profound. The King of the universe, who is invisible, says, "You're going to find me. You will find me. I will be found by you," declares the Lord, "and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you," declares the Lord. Sometimes God drives us into places that we are wondering. I was asked this question this morning. Why is this happening to me, all this stuff? Why is this happening? And I was fortunate enough to be able to say, you know, Christianity, the Bible, and what God has revealed to us is the only real answer to that question. Why is there suffering? Why is there death? Why is there pain? Why is there all this stuff that we have to deal with if there's a loving, all-powerful, almighty God? And the answer is, because there's an almighty, all-powerful, loving God who gave dominion. As I was listening this morning, he gave dominion to man over the heavens and the earth, over all of the earth and the animals and the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, over all these things. He gave us dominion over all these things. There was just that one thing. Don't do it. Don't do it. And we did. And that separates us from God. That separates us from who he is and where he is at. But when, like God says, when we seek him with all our hearts. And I hope, like you, I hope that's your desire. That's my desire, is to know what it's like to seek God with all my heart. I don't know if I've ever done that. I really don't know. I want to know. I want to be able to stand up here and say, I know what that's like. I want to know for sure, without a doubt, that I've sought him without my intentions or without my underlying hidden agenda behind my time with him. I want to be able to know this. Not simply for the benefit, but just so that the fact that God says when we do this, we're going to find him. We're going to find him where he's at. We're going to find him where he's waiting. Because remember, he's looking back and forth, up and down, side to side, inside and out. He's looking everywhere to see if anyone, his heart is completely his, so that he can come along and strongly support that. And I see that as something that I think God is calling us as a small body that we are to do, to seek him that way. What would it be like if there was nothing but evidence that God came alongside of us and strongly supported us? How would that be? How would that look? That would be an amazing thing. And God says, I will restore those things. I will do that. This is the God of the Old Testament that we're talking about. In a lot of that book and a lot of that, the objections that people have, they say, well, the God of the Old Testament was this way. He was God X. And the God of the New Testament says, you know, and kind of shows that he's God Y. But they forget that X and Y are part of the entire alphabet. It's still part of the same thing. And you see evidence of both in the Old and the New Testament. How many times in many of these things, I mean, in these things that we're writing here, I mean, that we're reading here, the eyes of the Lord in Chronicles, it was God saying, look, when you're obedient to me, I'm going to strongly support you. Didn't I defeat these armies for you? Didn't I do these things when you were with me? When you were wholly devoted to me? But he also says, when you're not, they're going to overcome you. They're going to overcome you when they're not. It's his calling out. It's his cry out to us. God's megaphone. He's crying out to us continually. Keep yourself focused on me. Keep yourself focused on who I am. As I say that you should focus on me. And how is that? Well, let's turn to John chapter 4. Tim hit on some of this last week. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. This is the famous story of the woman at the well. And it's written in verse 23, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. As Kerry said this, as he was praying, in spirit and in truth. That's how we want to approach God. Because this is what he says is acceptable. The Old Testament, what's acceptable to God? To love mercy. To do justice. And to walk humbly before God. Right? But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And this is the part that I love. For such people the Father seeks. He's a God who seeks. He's actively seeking. He's always looking for someone to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, I think part of why that is, we're all like sheep. We go astray. And I think even as Christians we can do that. We can get focused on so many other things. We can even get so focused on our own problems and try to figure out biblically what we're to do and how we're supposed to fix this and what we're supposed to do and the steps that we're supposed to take. And we sometimes accidentally and incidentally, we get caught up in the do's. I have to do this and I have to do that. I have to do this. And we lose our focus. Rather than seeking God, just for the simple sake of seeking God, we forget sometimes. But the Father is actively seeking to be, for such people who worship him in spirit and truth, to be his worshipers. That's who he's seeking. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. It's not in the do's and the don'ts. I don't know how much clearer he could be than that. Can he get any clearer than that? Spirit and a truth. What is that? That'll take a lifetime to figure out. But I think if we're actively seeking God, we're actively seeking him in spirit and in truth. God revealed this to me. One of the things with my, I'm not done with my epic tale of my roof yet. But one of the things that I found is when I started tearing off the shingles, there's a proper way of doing roofs that should be done. There should be the structure itself, and the structure goes all the way down to the foundation. But the rafters are up there, and they're tied together with the sheets of plywood. They call it the deck. And then on top of that, you're supposed to have some underlayment, so that, because plywood will soak up water if water comes in contact with it, right? And it'll eventually rot. It's wood. So it's supposed to have an underlayment, and it's supposed to have something to protect from it rotting. When I started tearing mine off, there was nothing there. There was a couple places that were a little bit rotted, and I had to patch them up and fix them. But what was amazing was I never would have guessed that I didn't have any underlayment underneath those shingles protecting that roof. And I'm surprised that it didn't leak before it did. And when, by removing all these things, I started to see those areas that were, it was not done properly. It was not, there was water that had started to penetrate, and it had gotten to the point where it had started to come inside the house. And what, as I was thinking about this and I was tearing these things off and I was going through the whole process, I thought, you know, Lord, what an amazing representation this is, even of the Christian life. Sometimes we get so busy putting a facade, a covering of shingles, as it were, on everything. And are we willing to seek God in a way where we ask God to tear up the shingles? Tear back those shingles. Look underneath this to see, as the psalmist says, look within me and see if there's any sin. Look within me and see if there's anything rotten in me. Look underneath all these things and see if there's something to shed off that water that it's supposed to reveal anything that's rotten, so that you can cut it out and you can patch it up and you can make it all whole again. It's a dangerous prayer. But I think that's how we have to seek God. I think that's how we have to approach God, in a dangerous way. Because we can go there confidently knowing that we have a place. And I love the fact that God is continually looking back and forth, up and down, side to side. He's looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And he also says that he wants us, that we can come to him with confidence. That we could come to the throne of judgment? Grace. The throne of condemnation? Throne of grace. That we can come to the throne of grace. That we can come to him. That we can come to him. We can seek him. We can begin to feed on him. We can begin to have him removing those places that need to be removed, to dig out that rottenness, to cut out new plywood, if you will. Because it acts as more than that. It actually helps keep the weight of snow and other things from collapsing that part of the house. It all works together. It all works together. And this is how I believe God is calling us as Christians in this day to seek him. He's been calling us from the beginning, and he's calling us through through the Old Testament, and he calls us through the New Testament, and he calls us today to seek him in this way, to not focus on all the things that might distract us, to not focus even on those things that we think he might want, and the key word is might, but to actually begin to seek him, and I want to know what that is. I'm not any different than you guys in that. I want to be that. I want to know that. I want to seek him with all my heart. I want to know what that's like. I want to know that I'm doing that. And with this extra time that I'm going to have, it's extra time for me now, but it eventually will become just part of what my life is. I'm looking forward to that. But I want to grow. I want to grow in all different kinds of ways. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It says in Jeremiah 31, 1 through 3. At that time, declares the Lord, in Jeremiah 31, 1 through 3, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel went, when it went to find its rest. For the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. What an amazing God. Even though you've been disobedient, even though you've gone your own way at times, how many times God just continues to draw us with his loving kindness. I have loved you with an everlasting love, a love that will not die, a love that will not, that cannot be overpowered, a love that cannot be overtaken. But nonetheless, God seeks us to worship him in spirit and in truth, and he wants our hearts to be continually his. And I want to finish with this. What must we do then? We'll go back to John. John chapter 9. What must we do? God is actively seeking. We should be actively seeking him. We should be actively seeking who God is, what he desires of us, what he commands from us, and what we are to do for his name's sake. How we are to live for his name's sake. How we are to love for his name's sake. How we are to display his love for his name's sake. How all these things are to work. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus speaking said, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Are you actively seeking his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, his kingdom? Are you actively seeking God? I know that that's what God wants from me. I know that that's what he wants from you. I know that that's what he wants from us. And I think that this is what part of who God is as he's revealed himself in this, what we call the Bible, this group of letters that were written, this history, this poetic prose, all these accounts, he's revealed himself. As I was explaining this morning, the amazing thing about God, because I was asked, well, since you started reading that, haven't you read that probably several times? I said, probably. Do you learn something new almost all the time? Almost all the time. There's many things that we fall back on that are immutable and will not change, but there's also new things that we didn't see before because maybe we weren't ready. Maybe we weren't seeking God with all our hearts. Maybe we weren't at that place where God could reveal these things, or maybe we're just like little babies can't be given an electrical schematic and go, here, figure this out. They might draw and color on it. They might see some different things about it. But they can't understand it. They don't get it. They're not in that place. But it's that way. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And what did Jesus do? He actively sought God in prayer. He actively sought to do his work, to do his will. That was his number one thing, to do his will. That was what he did. And that is what I believe we should do, including me, starting with me. I need to do that. I need to learn how to do this every day. And I hope that someday I'll get there. And I know that someday you may. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for actively seeking me when I was lost, when I should have been detestable to you. Thank you for seeking sinners who are in such need of your salvation, who are in need desperately of your forgiveness, of your redemption, who are in need of that great sacrifice that was given on our behalf, so that sin could be dealt with once for all, so that when we seek you in the way that you tell us to, in spirit and in truth, as revealed to us through your Son, who was your exact representation. When we look at him, we look at you. When we look at you, we look at him. Help us to seek you in that way with all our hearts. Give us understanding, Lord, in this time. Give us eyes to look through. Give us ears to hear with. Give us a heart to feel with in truth. And give us a mind to understand these things. Who can fully understand who and what you are except yourself? But nonetheless, Lord, we want to seek you. We want to love you. And we want to be used of you for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.